praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day. And appreciate again that we could worship here on the Lord's Day, the day He rose from the tomb. We started that on Easter, and I've liked that song so much we've kept it around for our morning call to worship. If you have a song sheet, I don't think this was in any of the books I found. There's an old Wesley song, a new song for us here. And let's try this. Arise, my soul, arise. We should probably arise to sing this song. Let's stand and sing. Arise, my soul, arise. The bleeding. Arise, my soul, arise. Take off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stand. Before the throne my surety stand. My name is written in His hand. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, His precious blood to bleed. His blood atoned for every race. His blood atoned for every race. And sprinkled now the throne of grace. Five pleading wounds He bears. Received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive Him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive Him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let the ransom sinner die. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for His child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh. With confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, have a father cry. Arise, arise, arise. Arise, my soul, arise. Arise, arise, arise. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears and rise. Shake off your guilty fears and rise. Arise, arise, my soul, arise. His dear anointed one. Presence of His Son, He strongly pleads today. The Spirit answers to the blood. The Spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. Father, praise You and thank You. Thank You that we can meet on Father's Day, but more so, thank You, Father, that we can meet on the Lord's Day, the day You rose Your Son from the tomb. Thank You for the worship going up to You this day. Thank You for churches that are open and preaching. Thank You again, Father, for Your blessing on our efforts here to lift up the name of Your Son, to gather with other believers, and to rejoice in what You did to give us eternal life. Father, we praise You, we love You, and thank You that we could worship this morning. Thank You for each one that's gathered here. Pray a special blessing on our time together. Thank You for each one that would listen in to this service and pray, Father, again that You'd hear each prayer, touch each heart in a special way. Father, that we could again see Your name lift up in a country that's all in disarray. And Father, as we would, I pray again, Father, that You'd help us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth in us. And Father, that You would again just encourage hearts on this Lord's Day. Thank You for fathers. Thank You again, Father, for the challenging norms or requirements for fathers to rear up children. And thank you for those that have and those that are. And Father, I just pray now again that you bless our fathers on Father's Day. Thank you for our memories of Dad. Thank you for your hand now on our worship this day, even as we'd recognize that and respond in love to you. We'll thank you in the name of Christ. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This next thing here is a chorus. It's called Step by Step. Here it is over here on the long page. Step by Step. We heard this thing all the time, and I don't know if I can get it started right. Did there arise, my soul arise? I get it mixed up. I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord. I said, if I get that song stuck in my head, I sing it for a week. But if I lose it, I've lost it again. So step by step, we'll learn that chorus here and get it once we get it separated from Arise, My Soul, Arise. I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord. Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope for joy. Couple scripture readings this morning. Let's start in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. I didn't want to skip these scripture readings. If someone's got their Bible open to 1 John chapter 2, and could read good and loud 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 15 on Father's Day. 1 John 2, 12 through 15. Anybody?
I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye know have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
All right, praise the Lord. Good scripture. And what we missed from last week, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If someone could stand and read that out.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other rather than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon it the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, for the glory of God the Father.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. And appreciate again our scripture reading again. Let's pay attention to the Bible. I hope again you're reading your Bible through this year. We're about to hit the halfway point here. If you haven't got started yet and you start at the halfway point, you have to double up again and read like 6 chapters a day, I think, to get it through this year anyway. But I'd encourage you to read your Bible through every year. And again, follow that reading schedule, then we'll all be on the same page together. If you haven't got started, I'd encourage you to go ahead and pick up the reading schedule and start in June here again. And just follow along so you'll be reading the same scriptures. It will take you till next June again to get all the way through in a year if you hadn't started yet. But it'll be worth the trip, praise the Lord. So I appreciate the scriptures, and in this day and age, we need a little more emphasis on them. So again, we're continuing on through our summer here with worship services at 11 on Sunday morning and our Wednesday prayer time. Those are the only two services that we have, and we're trying to be safe, sanctified, or sanitized and sanctified. Again, we should add that S into this list. Safe, sanitized, and social distance. And again, we're seeing some of that dwindle down as, again, June passes on. We'll be into July and August here shortly, and I appreciate again that we could gather with other believers for worship. Fellowship dinners changed on your bulletin there. Changed that to a Tuesday, and this week it's going to be a Taco Tuesday. The Cramners have taken to camping on weekends, and so I guess there's no Zoom capability out at the campsites, but
just rainstorms,
just lightning storms. But so that's 6 o'clock. If you can join us again with a Zoom fellowship dinner, and again, if you've got internet, you've got an ability to Zoom, and so I appreciate again that we can get together and have a good time fellowship over a fellowship dinner, believe it or not, there on Zoom. So that's Tuesday night this week at 6 to 7, and same phone number. Or Zoom number and password. We'll get you into that. Also, on Saturday nights, I do spend an hour in prayer in my study, and that's also connected up to a Zoom number there if anyone wants to Zoom in on that. And it's also connected to the conference number I don't do that over the phone. I do that over the computer. So the free conference number is also accessible over your online computers through freeconferencecall.com and so, or .org maybe it is. But I encourage you again to, if you can, just tune in and come and pray with your pastor on Saturday nights from 8 to about 9. And a sweet hour of prayer. Appreciate that opportunity. And we got Zoom started, and so we're going to keep practicing a little bit. Praise the Lord. There's been several 14, again, signed into our webpage and tuned in. I also published it in our Penny Pulpit, so maybe that helped. But I encourage you again to click on the services. I did not get Wednesday's prayer time uploaded yet. I just noticed that this morning when I grabbed my recorder. I said, man, I didn't even download the last Wednesday service onto our webpage. But the services are up there on our webpage. If you just click on that link, you can watch them. Also, our adult Sunday school is available by Brother Dave Johnson on his Facebook page. And I greatly appreciate that and to encourage you to tune into that through Facebook. Appreciate your faithfulness here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Let me go ahead and cover some missionary letters that we did get in. The Rodriguez family is still in South Carolina. They have not been able to get back to Paraguay. The borders are still closed. And this is of as of June 5th. And so they do have this praise. I'm thankful, however, that throughout these crazy times, the Lord is keeping us busy. There has hardly been a Sunday or Wednesday that has gone by that I have not been in the pulpit somewhere preaching God's Word. So pray for Brother Rodriguez serving in Paraguay. Pray for their two churches. He had two churches planted down there next to the Bible Institute that he teaches at. And so they are going on without meeting again. They're forbidden to meet in Paraguay still. And so pray for Brother Manny and Maria Rodriguez and the kids as they're all back in the States. Praise the Lord. That took a miracle to get him here. A letter from Karen Burdick. Pray for her. She's sticking this thing out in the Honduras. She did have this praise, another blessing that happened this past week. I received a call from a school director asking me to do a recorded video Bible class for school children so they don't miss out on Bible classes anymore. So pray for Karen Burdick, again, a single lady that's serving down in Honduras in the Sunday schools there. Got a prayer or a prayer letter here from Now Ministries. Pray for True Marshall. Appreciate him getting money to Arnold Espino in Vietnam for us. And pray for him as he again's got to distribute monies all over all kinds of closed nations right now. And pray again for Brother Marshall and that Now Ministries. Clippingers, praise the Lord. And same thing in China, serving the Chinese in Toronto. I mean, and pray for them. Again, they've been unable to get out. They finally got ability to record their services just now and get them online. That's as of June 1st. And also, they have expecting that Toronto is probably going to be closed down long after everyone else opens because of the pandemic is going full force there yet. Help Ministries, pray again for Brother Knickerbocker again, and it's good to hear from Help Ministries as they're again striving to serve national pastors again all over the world. Pray for our missionaries during these times. Again, it's tough. It's tough anywhere right now to be a Christian, but our missionaries are going through some special times, and let's keep them in our prayers. Appreciate your faithfulness at giving and your faithfulness here in our tithes and offering. Our plate is in the back if you drop your tithes and offering in as you come in or go out. Or do it just now during a time when we recognize giving again and its importance during these days. And so you give just now during our tithe and offering time. And remember our faith promise as well. Appreciate your faithfulness. Let's join together our voices in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Cramner, if you have a scripture reading, now be a time to...
Let's all stand and turn to Psalm 103, which is sort of a Father's Day. Psalm 103.
Psalm 103.
Turn your dial to 103. Psalm 103, page 869. 22 verses. I'll read the odd, you guys read the evens. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name."
Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all thy benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies?
Who satisfieth the mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles?
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor regarded us according to our iniquities.
Amen.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like his father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
As for man, the days are as grass, and the flower of the field, so he flourisheth.
For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness on the children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Let's read 22 together.
Bless the Lord, all his works, and all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord. If you have a song sheet, let's remain standing and sing, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know." There have been names that I have loved. Jesus. Lord. You may be seated. We do want to take a minute to recognize our fathers here today on Father's Day and encourage you again to contact your father if you can here on Father's Day and be an encouragement to him and a thank you to him. And if you can't, you can phone up heaven and ask Jesus to give your father a hug.
Amen.
And appreciate again that we have Father's Day here. And let's recognize them. I think we had a prize. Did we have one for each of our fathers? If I could have my wife go ahead. Now, are these... I got to know, are these meat sticks going to burn your lips off? Or?
I think so.
Oh, all right. And so we appreciate that. I had a special Father's Day this morning, and my wife gave me this. This is the smallest harmonica in the world. And so, praise the Lord. I'm going to play a song on this, the smallest harmonica in the world I got. What was that song by the Gaithers we sang? Haven't we got last week's bulletin?
It works.
Meet me there. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's got the whole scale on there, okay? It's kind of tiny and my mouth's big, so. There's one phrase out of it anyway.
Awesome.
Praise the Lord. So I sit around practicing my harmonica this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's right. In fact, you could. And you'd be singing the rest of the week, I guess, right? How that would work. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and sing one more song. It's in our song sheet there. Down at the Cross. We got two more songs in the song sheet. I got carried a little carried away here. I said, I wonder why I don't have any room for my message online. I put all these extra songs. Down at the cross, page two in our hymn bowl if you got it. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood of life. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, singing glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Oh, precious fountain that saved from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name, precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood. Glory to his name. All the way, my Savior leads. His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, there by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Through my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, let's open it up to the book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 13. I've got three messages outlined to go today, and I didn't think till last Monday. I said, "Wait a minute, this is Father's Day." I had a Father's Day message all outlined previous, and so my message outlines are kind of backed up. But I have a series that I still want to finish, and today let's go ahead and look at David as a father. And so I got this message again back in March. A Marine preached it to us, and Pastor Dewey Stewart, pastor of Watertown Baptist Temple, preached in March. And then right after he preached, they shut the state down. So we haven't been to any more preaching conferences until June here again, and I appreciate again that conference we went to. But I wrote it down in this whole outline and sketched it in my margin of my Bible and said, come Father's Day, I got to preach this message. So let's go ahead and look at some things about Father's Day. First, I got a Father's Day joke. This isn't mine originally. Dr. Grady gave this joke, and so blame him. It said, two Taliban grandpas were sitting in the outskirts of a barren wilderness showing off pictures of grandkids. The elder man says, my, but they do blow up fast.
Terrible.
That's terrible. Okay, try this one. I had a coronavirus joke, but it was made in China, and most of you won't get it anyway. I already used that one. So then the Marine, let me give you the Marine joke. Dewey Stewart gave this again, even as he breached his outline on the cuspice of the coronavirus challenge here. So a sailor came up to a Marine and said, I got a Marine joke. Want to hear it? Two larger, burly Marines stood up and came in beside their comrade. And he said, so, sailor, you still want to tell your joke? No, I don't like explaining a joke more than two times. I used to be good at telling jokes, but I think Good Samaritan Baptist Church is
lots of time jokes.
2 Samuel. Did I say 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel and chapter 13. I want to look again at Absalom's turn against his father, And I'd not heard this before nor examined it before this past March when Brother Stewart preached it. And so I want to go ahead and look and just follow seven closed doors that David had in his life. As fathers, again, we're challenged to do some things. As grandfathers, as we have here some, again, understand that there's still some challenges in our lives. And one of them is that we would have an open door. I think sometimes grandpying is easier than fathering, again. But when you're a father, you are the authoritarian. When you are a father, you are the disciplinarian. And when you are the father, you are the head of the home. And sometimes that hinders in our having an open door so that children feel like they can always come to you. So it's a hard balance, again, that you could be the authoritarian, you could be the disciplinarian, you could be militant. I like that term because I'm military, I suppose. But you can be militant, but also be compassionate. And that, again, a child knows that he could always come to dad and talk about anything. And so that's a challenge, and that's hard to do. And again, as we understand the balance of that, it takes some wisdom from God to be in such a way that you could pull that off and still, again, have an open door and yet a tight discipline. So we're going to look at that exactly here in this scenario that shows up in chapter 13. And let's go ahead and take a quick reading from the Word of God. And I didn't have a key text picked out here. So let's turn to chapter 14 and look at verse 33. This is where we're going to end up again, in chapter 14 and verse 33. And we'll take our reading there. And then look again at David as a father, a failed father. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 33, "So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground." This is before his dad, remember. "On his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom." Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, that you give all the details we need to understand each circumstance in a way, again, that we could just enlighten our lives with the truth. So I pray, even as we look at the scenario before us here in these two chapters, Father, that you touch our heart and lead our mind and cause again, Father, that we could have a purpose in our lives, that we would be better equipped here as fathers especially, but also as humans, Father, that you'd teach us some things about relationships that are important in this day and age and in our lives. Father, there's some here that have already lived their lives, but could pass some of these truths on down to children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. So I pray that you'd, as it were, just rub our noses in these truths in such a way, Father, that they'll get all over our lives. We'll carry them with us, not just this week, but throughout this summer, yea, throughout the year, and that we, again, would have a priority on having our relationships right as Christians, as believers in your Son. Thank you for the relationship we have with you. Thank you that you've never been a failed father. That you again lead and hold us in tender hands. And Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for being our Father now. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be wondering again where this is going. And so was I guess, when I first heard it. David is a man after God's own heart. David was, again, a king, but he was also a father. And I've not looked at his role as a father. There's many that we have on Father's Day. And the roles of people as fathers are often riddled with failures. And as we look at that, understand the challenging of raising up a generation after us is addressed repeatedly in the Bible. And it cannot be done without much prayer. And I'm going to say prayer and fasting. Right after Jesus' comment that this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. Some things in our lives take prayer and fasting. And I encourage you again that we need to just bathe our loved ones, our children, our children's children, in prayer and in fasting. So let's look now at David. David did not have an open door. David did not was not one that could be talked to about anything that would come up in his children's lives. So again, we want to examine that truth and look at it. Notice that there's no open door concerning Tamar being raped. That's chapter 13. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. So this is Absalom's sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And so this is Amnon is a son of David from another mother again. And so notice again that these two are going to clash because Amnon loved her. Jump over to 15. I trust again you're familiar with the account of Amnon and his friend, whose name was Jonadab, and was a very subtle man. And so we find that again, his friend got him into deep trouble here. And verse 15 says, "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he had hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise and be gone." Verse 20 says, "And Absalom," this is Tamar's sister, "her brother said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Look at verse 21. "But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth." Period. That's the end of David's response. And again, it came to a point, if you look at the next verse, "And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar." Verse 23 says, "And it came to pass after 2 full years. So I want you to know that there's a problem in the household here of David the king, and he is very wroth, it says. In fact, he is so wroth that no one even dares bring up the subject to him. And I go ahead and give you this idea that, hey, being wroth is not a solution to the problem. Being angry at a situation to the point where no one even dares talk to you about it is a wrong response.
Amen.
Listen. It's a common response. It happens all the time. It happens in husband-wife relationships. Lots of wives say, "Oh, no, bring that subject up. He'll just go crazy. He'll go off the handle." I'm amazed at how many times I hear that. That there is some subject in a house that one dare not bring up because the husband, the father, will just be angry all over again. And so David here had an opportunity to deal with this as a king, as a judge, as a ruler, and he knew what needed to be done, but it's family, and he refused to do anything. Instead, he just stewed in his anger. For 2 full years he stewed, and Absalom, waiting again for some response from dad, got none. And so Absalom again, after 2 full years, had figured out that, hey, this thing isn't going to set well with Dad. He is not going to resolve it. He's not going to do anything about it. In this chapter, starting there in verse 23, says, "And it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal-Hazor." And so the first closed door here is concerning Tamar. And David was not able to deal with this situation wisely nor prudently. Fury and anger can be a defense against doing things right, about talking things out, a slammed door when fathers need an open door, an ability to talk, an ability to lead. Number two, David would not speak to Absalom for 2 full years. He didn't go to Tamar. Who was it that cared for Tamar? It was Absalom. Absalom is the one who stood up here and did what a father should do as far as caring for Tamar after this tragedy entered into their home. So he did nothing for 2 full years, and finally Absalom here takes action. And so he did not speak to Absalom. He did not resolve this. He was just raw. So there's 2 closed doors, one against Tamar, one against Absalom. The fact that David did nothing here against Amnon is a 3rd closed door. 3 slammed shut doors that should have been opened, that should have been resolved, that should have been cared about and taken care of by King David and for his children, and he did nothing. Now, he had the ability to deal with Amnon, even to offer forgiveness and getting out of the law. He could have done that. He was the king. But to completely ignore it again and not touch it, not even address it, is a slammed shut door in David's life. So as you know the story here, I trust, as you read through the chapter, you find that Absalom set up a feast, brought all the kings and hired his men, his servants, to go ahead and to kill Amnon. And he did that, and then he took off and fled out of the country. When that happened, notice again that I think it's because of this, all the other closed doors, that there was massive confusion going on here. And it got back to the king that Absalom killed all of your sons, and they're all dead. And again, that confusion, that miscommunication happens when there's a slam shut door in a person's life. When no one dares talk about something, there's just miscommunication, there's problems, and it festers and it gets worse. And so we find it happens right here. And so finally they get the story straight. Verse 35 of this chapter says, "And Jonadab said unto the king, Behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. And Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur." And that's where his mother was from, by the way. That's one of the wives that David had taken, was here from Geshur. Here's Absalom gone back to his grandparents' house. And David mourned for his son every day. Look at that last clause. "And David mourned for his son every day." I have a question mark in my Bible here. It says, which one? I don't know whether he's mourning for Amnon that was slain, or mourning for Absalom that was in exile. But we find again that here again, David had another slam shut door. He had opportunity to deal with everything right here. It all blew up in his face, twofold, because of the misunderstanding beside. And yet David did nothing to address this in his life. We've gone on now for 2 years, and then this happens, and then we got 3 years to go. So notice here again, Absalom has fled. He's down there living with his grandparents and where he's his homeland, as it were, where he came from, and David's closed-door policy had still, again, not been dealt with. David's closed-door policy drove Absalom into exile in his grandpa's old territory. And door number six, David was persuaded to do the right thing. Okay, chapter 14 begins about Joab. And notice again, evidence that David was in the wrong here, Joab just couldn't go up to David and say, hey, what you need to do is... Hey, he couldn't go and talk about this situation to King David because David's still wroth. He's still angry. And so here we are 2 years, now 3 more years, 5 years in, and this thing is still stuck in the craw. You know, I've been amazed as a pastor, even as a youth pastor, how many families have some grudge or some fight that's been going on for years and years. And that won't get resolved. They won't resolve it. They won't address it. And here's that nature that shows up in King David, a man after God's own heart, still has this flaw in his character as a father, that something's come up and he will not address it. Again, be careful of that in your lives. We always point the finger at someone, it's their fault again. Understand that when you're pointing your finger at someone else, there's three pointing back at you. When there's a difference in a family, boy, get it resolved. Blessed are the peacemakers. Does it say that someplace in the Bible? Yeah. And we need to be peacemakers. And so often, our own family. As fathers, again, we need to address that. But certainly, as all of us here need to address being peacemakers in family, in our own homes. And don't let something like that just gnaw. I've done lots of funerals, and it's scary to me how many family fights show up in the funeral homes. That's just sad. It's just wrong. So it's unchristian. At the very least, it's unchristian. But it's in our old nature again. And so watch for that here. And notice in our lives again that there's ample opportunity for us to start slamming doors in our lives. And so here's David, was persuaded to do the right thing. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So notice, even though he said, okay, we'll let Absalom come home, it isn't resolved. He said, okay, he can come back, but he's not going to see my face, verse 24. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. What? He's finally convinced, okay, we'll do the right thing, but then he don't do the right thing. And he again has the door slammed on Absalom and does not allow Absalom to approach to him. You read through the next section there, it's almost humorous that Absalom, it would be humorous if it weren't so sad, again, what he did, to get his father's attention, to get a word into his father, what Absalom had to do to break down the door so David would open it and let his son come in. And so he does all that. And then look what happens in the verse that we read there in chapter 14. Absalom answered Joab, verse 32. Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, come hither that I may send thee to the king to say, wherefore am I come from Geshur? It had been good for me to have been there still. Now therefore let me see the king's face. And that's his father, remember. And if there be any iniquity in him, in me, let him kill me. What do you think? Was there any iniquity in Joab? Was there any bitterness? Was there any bad spirit? Was there anything wrong with Absalom? Was there anything wrong in Absalom's attitude? His dealings? What he's done so far? Here, the son... has stood up doing what's right repeatedly And we got down to, if there be any iniquity in me, let him kill me. Verse 33 says, so Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before his father. And the king, his father, kissed him. You notice the absence of that word father. Notice again that there's no mention of it. It's all the king. Here they didn't hardly even use the name of David. The personality's been set aside here. The relationships have been set aside here. And I think that's just so that we'll emphasize the fact that, hey, there's something wrong here. This is just not right. And even when David, in verse 33, came to a place that he kissed Absalom. Absalom, again, in his life, I must have been all the way back a chapter. I missed this. But anyway, Absalom, as he is taking care of Tamar and doing the right thing before Amnon, notice that he had a daughter, and he named his daughter Tamar. And so Absalom here is doing everything right. He's caring for his sister. He's getting the vengeance, if you would call it that, or the justice more so probably, on Amnon that the king would not do. And now we come again here to where he comes to David. And David still does not address him as his son. He will later. In fact, many of you are familiar with the verse where King David wept out loud before all the people and said, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom. Listen, it's too late. It's too late at that point. And here he's the door. Don't think again because he kissed him that resolved things. It was still not resolved. It was still not dealt with. And he put it off and he put it off and he put it off, and he would not deal with this wrong, nor with his own household and his son Absalom. Jump to the next chapter, chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now stop right there and understand between chapter 14, verse 33, and chapter 15 and verse 1, that's where Absalom went sour. That's where Absalom again turned against his father. That's where Absalom turned. And we look at that and say, how could a son do that? Listen, there's a good explanation of how a son could do that by looking at the chapter 13 and chapter 14. To understand, again, that what David went through with his son Absalom is a consequence. I think it's a consequence of the first sin he did, where old Nathan stuck his finger in David's face and said, thou art the man. And God said, hey, you're going to reap this consequence in your children's lives. It's going to be reaped and played out. And sure enough, it is. But notice here again that does not excuse the failure that David had as a father. Listen, if we've had failures at fathers, boy, it needs to be dealt with before it's too late. And so even this Father's Day, dealing with your father, dealing with your children, boy, make sure again that things are on good ground between you and your children on this Father's Day. Make sure again that if there's been a row, if there's been a fight going on, that you'd set down your arms and that you would again resolve that. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for what we've read here, and I thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. Thank you for dealing with men as they are, even with the man after your own heart here called David, that we see his sins plastered all over this book. And Father, yet we see his heart. And I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to learn some things even from this error. Father, that again, you'd help us to resolve differences in our own families. Help us to resolve differences in families. Help us again, Father, that we'd touch the lives of others. Even on this Father's Day, when we're looking at that relationship, Father, help us to improve all of our relationships, even because the end is so soon upon us. We'll praise you now and thank you for using your words, using your message, using again this day of worship, Father, in a way that would change our lives for the week. We'll praise you in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's just have a moment of invitation, and as we consider some of the things, maybe God's brought something across your heart that needs prayed for. And so, again, if that be the case, then let's spend a minute in prayer. And let's go ahead during this invitation number, just go ahead and seek God's face. If you want to come to an altar, come to an altar. But let's again deal with things on Father's Day that need to be dealt with in our lives, in our relationships. You to got some closed doors. Push on a door this week again. Maybe it's been closed too long. It says in Galatians 6:18, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Lord bless you for worshiping with us today.